and welcome to the Trevor and Ben podcast. Hello, Ben.
Hello. You said that in a very strange way, if you don't
what
mind
do you mean,
me saying.
In a strange way.
I don't know. It just felt very slow and deliberate. I didn't like it.
Slow and deliberate. I do feel very tired today. I do feel
that'll
like,
be it.
I feel very like everything I've done today feels slow.
It's very lethargic.
Yeah, lethargic's the word. I'm going through one of those phases where I wake up tired.
Oh.
And it's not that I'm sleeping too badly, but I'm just waking up feeling like I've gone 10 rounds with Mike Tyson. I don't know what's going on.
You know, we're supposed to be a bit more upbeat with these podcasts, you know.
I know, we're supposed to be giving people things to be cheerful about, we?
Yeah.
Shall we do it again?
Try again.
Okay. I mean, I can't muster too much energy today, but I'll give it everything I've got.
Go on.
Hello, and welcome to the Trevor Ben podcast. Was that any better?
No, again, that sounded forced. Do you want me to do it?
Go on.
Hello, and welcome to the Trev and Ben podcast.
See, that's too much.
Too much?
It's too much for me today. I mean, it's like, I'm not hungover. I haven't had a drink, but I feel hungover. I feel just, oh, I don't know what I feel today.
So we need somewhere in the middle between you and me.
Yeah, just, let's just take it easy this week.
All right, well, I don't think we should start the podcast for a fourth time, so shall we just crack on now?
Yeah, you know, I think perhaps we'll just breeze through this one. Let's just take it easy.
Okay.
Just chill out. So how's your week been?
Okay, ups and downs. You?
Well, positive. No one's taken a dump on my property.
Good.
So that's a bonus, isn't it?
If you haven't heard last week's podcast, there is context for that.
What else happened this week? We've been told by Grant Shapps that we can all go back to work, get back into the offices. He told us that whilst working from home. this whole thing now is like, get back to work. Come on, people. How are you? Because you obviously you can't work from home with your
no.
job. But I've managed now to, for the last year, I've really been working hard to make sure everything I do is working from home. And I had one last thing where every week I had to go into an office in London. And because of the COVID thing, I've now been able to make sure that that's working from home and that will continue to be working from home. So my ideal now is that I never have to work in an office or with people very closely ever again.
No, I mean, we found a way to do this without being in the same room. I don't remember the last time I saw you.
I know. Well, just before lockdown, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I don't mind meeting up with you.
That's very kind of you.
But I don't want to go and work in an office ever again. I mean, even when you work in radio, I've just marked my 25th anniversary of working in radio. And even in radio, where you think it should be a fun, exciting environment, it's just the same as any office.
It is.
It's got all the boring aspects of an office. You know, you have to work with people you don't like, and it's good that there are some people you do like. But I'm done with it. I was talking to a friend the other day. I said, I never, ever want to work in an office or too closely with people ever again. I don't know whether that's a positive thing or not.
I don't know. I mean, I always sort of felt, and I'm not complaining when I say this, but it may have been the fact that I had to do 4.5 hours driving every day when we were on the radio.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is a bit much, but I always felt, especially when there was problems with the bailiffs and we were temporarily locked out of our radio station.
And we did it from your house.
Yeah, we did it from my house, from where I'm sitting now. And I always sort of thought after that, why can't I do this from home?
Well, the thing is, you're one of the few jobs, postman, where you can't work from home.
Well, I mean, I could go in and organise it all, and then I think it's very reasonable if everyone just comes to my front door and collects the mail.
I don't think that's reasonable at all. I've got a friend who really enjoys going to an office, and his company have just shut the office. He had to go and take all his stuff out, empty his desk. They just said, well, everyone's proved they can work from home. Now, he prefers to go into an office.
Really?
Well, one, because he enjoys a bit of office banter. I hate office banter. There is nothing worse than office banter.
Oh.
Because I don't believe it's banter. My experience of office banter tends to be people moaning about being in the office. So it's not office banter at all. It's people getting stuff off their chest. And secondly, he likes to have, I suppose because he's got two young kids, he says, I like to have that bit of time when I finish work, where I'm on a train and I can just chill, listen to a podcast, read a book before I get home to the chaos of the kids. He says, now I just come downstairs. It's like I finish work, bang, into the looking after the kids. So I kind of get that, but my God, I don't think people should be rushing back to offices now, unless you really, I mean, you have the option, but you know, this whole thing now of suddenly we've all got to go back to work, you know, get back into the office. We've proved we don't have to now.
And especially, and I know that you hate people who are sort of money driven, and
you could have just finished with hate people. Yes, I hate people who are money driven. Yes,
but you know, all these shareholders of businesses, when they realise that their business can function completely fine with everyone working from home, they're going to start questioning why they're paying thousands of pounds for London rent and stuff.
Well, that's it. Yeah, and of course that's what they're worried about. They're worried like the big cities will just collapse, you know, the fact that there's no one really going into central London and it's having such an effect on the economy. And of course, if you're driven by money, which we are as a society, then that's a massive issue, isn't it? And, you know, they'll wrap it all up in some kind of pseudo-psycho babble, you know, like, you know, it's better for your mental health if you're in an office, you know, it's better for the company if you're all in an office. And it's just a way to get you back in so you can go and spend your £400 on a pret-a-manger sandwich at lunchtime to keep the economy rolling.
And it really isn't better for your mental health. I mean, again, harking back to the radio days, with the exception of about two or three people, I basically hated everybody.
Well, that's the thing about work, though, isn't it? You're thrown together with people and you have to spend hours with these people, most of whom you don't really have much time for. You tend to find about, you know, two or three people who you have a real bond with.
Yeah.
And they're the great people. But everyone else, I mean, when I worked here in an office where there was loads of people, I mean, I would hide away as much as possible. I just
I did.
I mean, even at lunchtimes, when I started working there when I was young, I'd go in the kitchen at lunchtime and I'd talk to everyone. And then after about a year or two, I just thought, oh my God, this is boring. You know, nobody's got anything interesting to say. And as I say, they're all moaning about what's going on at work anyway. So I just thought, I don't want to hear all that. So I used to disappear at lunchtime. And then, you know, when you have the appraisals?
Oh, yeah.
When I first started work, they didn't have one where I worked. And then they suddenly brought this appraisal thing, and I fucking hate that shit. I think they now call it performance management, you know.
Right,
we need to manage your performance. Fuck off, I'm doing my work. I know what I'm doing, so I don't need you to sit there and tell me how I'm. And the thing is, they make out that it's your thing, you know. You tell us how you think you're doing. I think I'm doing great, thanks.
Yeah.
So I had an appraisal and it, you know, everything kind of went well, but my boss said to me, I think we'd like to see a bit more of you in the office. You know, it'd be really nice for you to come out and sort of sit with us and be part of the team a little bit more. It's like, no, I don't want to be part of your team. Your team are dull as anything. And actually, your team are the people who cause me most of my problems. So anyway, it's a weird thing, but there we go. We've all got to get back to work, get back into the office.
Yes.
What else happened this week? I'll tell you what else I've discovered this week. Here's a weird thing I discovered.
Go on.
You can buy a whole chicken in a can.
What?
I was just going through some stuff on Amazon, and I don't really know how this came up, but I discovered that you can buy a whole chicken in a can. Not in this country. They won't ship to this country. I think it's in America. It's called Sweet Sue Canned Whole Chicken Without Giblets.
Okay.
And it's a whole chicken in a can. So I looked into it a little bit more because it looks disgusting.
It sounds disgusting. Is it a very big can or a very small chicken?
It's a big can. It's a 50-ounce can.
50-ounce. Wow, that's not really can anymore, is it? That's borderline bucket.
Yeah, it's a big can. And the picture on the outside sort of gives you a picture of a roast chicken, but the pictures I've seen when you're plop this thing out, it's just vile. This is what it says on the can. It says, remove chicken from the can. Be sure to save the delicious broth.
Oh.
Place chicken in an uncovered pan. Baste well with some of the broth. Then you can put it in an oven. But you can have it cold if you want.
I love the fact that they had to put remove chicken from can.
When it says,
what else were you going to do with
it? It says, do not heat in the can. Oh. I suppose some people might think you could just pop the can in the microwave or pop the can on the stove or something. I don't know.
People are thick. I bought a bag of peanuts once, and I swear to God, it said may contain nuts.
They have to put that legally, don't they?
But you're buying peanuts.
I know, but everything these days is to stop yourself being sued. So you have to put
survival
that
of
stuff
the fittest.
On.
If you've got an allergy to peanuts and you buy a bag of peanuts, then you've got it coming.
Wow, I mean, you're a harsh man. You're a harsh man. I've been reading one man's review of this sweet soup canned whole chicken, a man called Dennis, who put it online. Right, do you want to just hear what he says about it?
I'd love to hear Dennis's thoughts.
I mean, when he first saw it, he said, I frowned. The can used the word delicious 3 times, which he doubted. So anyway, he got the thing home. He had to think a lot about whether he was going to eat it or not, but he did, and he plopped it out.
Can you stop using the word
no,
plop?
No, but it does.
It's so it disgusts me. I can just think of it. I can almost hear the noise of it slopping out.
Well, that's the noise it makes. I've seen a video of it, and it does sort of make that noise.
Oh.
And also, what I'm trying to do is use words more. I was told I used the word sluiced a lot last week, but then,
you did.
There was no other word to describe what I was doing. So maybe people could start using this as like a drinking game. Find a word that I'm starting to use a lot and then drink to it.
Yeah, I think last week, I don't think I mentioned it at the time, but I'd never really heard the word schluss before, but you must have used it about 11 times.
Yeah, it's a great word, schluss. I tend to use the word wow a lot as well. That could be one you could drink to. I've noticed
that. I do that as well.
Wow. So every time, wow, what's that? 2 fingers, let's say, every time I say wow on the podcast. So anyway.
I hate to interrupt just one more time, but... Yeah. I never really understood the whole 2 fingers thing. What the fuck does that mean?
We drink 2 fingers of drink.
What does that mean?
Well, you put 2 fingers around the glass, and that's the amount the 2 fingers covers is the amount you drink.
Oh, okay.
And that's, you know,
I've heard the expression, 2 fingers before, relating to how much you drink, but I've never understood what it meant.
Yeah, no, that's especially, you know, it's not really appropriate with beer. But, with shots and stuff, and that's what you do, 2 fingers.
Right, I'll stop interrupting now. You carry on.
So the...
back to Dennis.
So here we go. It plops out the can, 2 fingers.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, I poked at it with a fork.
Why is he playing with it now?
The entire thing nearly disintegrated. Now, the other video I've seen about it, when it does plop out, it does disintegrate. It sort of just got and just sort of bits of chicken. It's like you've put it's like you've fired a bazooka at a chicken when it appears out. He says it tasted like partially digested baby food as it melted inexplicably in my mouth. He says, I tried the delicious gravy. He says it tasted like a wet fart.
Oh, come on. Now he's just saying shit now. He's trying to make it sound disgusting.
I threw the entire thing into a sealed chamber, a Tupperware container, disposed of the entire thing. Something inside me died that day and never, ever came back. There we are. That's what chicken in a can is like. I was thinking of trying to get hold of one so we could do a taste test, but the Amazon entry, where you get 2 cans... for nearly $40.
$40
for 2 cans. Where's 2 whole chickens, mate?
You could pick up a chicken from Sainsbury's for a fiver.
Not in a can, though.
No.
Not with broth. It says the item cannot be shipped to your selected delivery location.
Good.
So in a couple of weeks, Ben, I'm going to be 43.
Ooh.
That's proper getting old, isn't it?
I would say that is smack bang middle age.
It is smack bang middle age, isn't it? And what I've noticed in recent times are things that I'm doing more and more, which mean I am definitely getting older. You know those things you know you're getting old when?
Yeah.
So I'm definitely making more noise when I get up and sit down, physically, like lots of kind of cracking of bones and stuff, but also that kind of lots of noises as you get up. And I didn't think that would happen this soon, but it has.
Oh, dear.
The other thing that I've noticed is I've started something new, which I never thought I would get into. And I've kind of blamed my friend a little bit for this because he suggested it. He's a little bit younger than me. I haven't gone to the effort of buying any of these yet, but I've been doing it online. Jigsaw puzzles.
Oh, Trev, no, don't. You're not that old.
No, honestly, right? My mate said to me, why don't you try jigsaw puzzles? Because he's really got into them. And my first initial thought was exactly yours. Like, no, not doing the jigsaw puzzle. It's ludicrous. And then the other day, I came across online some online jigsaw puzzles.
Online?
And, yeah, online jigsaw puzzles. I've got to tell you that to start with, I thought, oh, yeah, these are quite nice. These are good. Just, you know, they're just use your brain for a bit. I then realised I was on the baby setting where they only have about 6 pieces.
For fuck's sake.
But I've now gone to the medium level of 150 pieces. And I'll tell you what, it takes about 45 minutes to do one of these. The time flies by, mate. No, honestly. It does.
I'm not having this. Listen, I said earlier on that I haven't seen you in weeks now, months. And I think we need to fix this because other people are getting to you and it's not going well. You're aging 10 times the speed without seeing me.
Well, I mean, do you want to know some of the jigsaws that I've completed?
Go on.
I've done Paris by night.
Right.
I've done mountain ranges.
Paris by night. Is that just like a black square?
Where's the Eiffel Tower lit up in it?
Okay.
I've done, what did I do the other day? Like a Christmas scene the other day. And they're harder than you think, these jigsaw puzzles.
What the fuck has happened to you? You're doing Christmas jigsaw puzzles in August.
Yeah, but I'll tell you what, they are quite, there's something about, I didn't understand what my mate was saying and started to do a couple of these and I thought, yeah, they're also, I mean, I get a little bit annoyed when, I mean, it's an amazing thing that happens in your mind because, you know, the thing is, you obviously you start trying to stop the corners and then the edges. Yeah.
God.
And it's amazing because all the pieces of, you can see all the pieces there around the central bit on the screen, but it's amazing how you can't see the straight edges for the sides. You might be a couple short and you think, I've looked at every piece. They're not there. They are there, but your mind doesn't search for them. Isn't that bizarre?
I once saw, I suppose the benefit of an online jigsaw is, you know, you're never going to lose any pieces.
Yes.
But I once saw a 10,000-piece jigsaw puzzle for sale, which was basically baked beans.
Well, no, see, I wouldn't want that.
Why not?
Because, well, it's a boring picture. You know, a nice sort of a Statue of Liberty or something. That's a nice picture, isn't it? I'd say the only downside of the online one I found is you can't see, you don't have the final picture to refer to when you're doing it.
Oh, well, that's the benefit of the actual physical jigsaw puzzle, is you've got the box showing you how it looks.
But I think the thing about a physical jigsaw is, like you say, one, you can lose the pieces. Two, you've got to have somewhere where it can permanently sit and be set up. You know, and that can be a bit annoying, because if you knock it and knock it over, you've got to start again. So online jigsaws, I think, are the way forward here.
Well, it depends what the question was.
I tell you, I actually found this because it's actually made for people. It's made for people in a hospital, these jigsaws.
Yeah.
But I'm enjoying. There seems to be quite a lot of them, so I've got. I've still got plenty to go. I mean, I haven't done Girl at the Brooklyn Bridge. I haven't done. I haven't done Empire State. I mean, these are just the New York ones. You know,
I know that you're not, you know, you're not like me, and like you're not a big gamer and things. But honestly, if you're finding this online jigsaw puzzles entertaining, let me get you a game. I could blow your mind if you're impressed with this shit.
Well, I tell you what I am doing with gaming is I'm getting, you know, the old Spectrum computers. I've talked about this before. Emlyn Hughes International Soccer was a game that I always played as a kid on the Spectrum.
Yes, I remember you telling me about it, yeah.
And about 3 or 4 years ago, my mate for my birthday bought me a Spectrum computer so we could relive our childhood.
Yeah.
And after one night, I don't know quite what happened, we seemed to blow the thing up and it's never worked since. But this week I've discovered a place where I can send it off and try and get it repaired. So when it comes back, I can hopefully enjoy Evan Hughes international soccer again.
Okay, so when was that game released?
Oh, I mean, it was probably originally released in the mid-80s.
Right. You know,
the graphics aren't great. The sound, you know, you compare it with today's games, it's not going to live up to that. But for me, it's a nostalgic experience.
Yeah, while you're playing games that were made in the 80s with shit graphics and terrible audio, I have a headset, virtual reality headset, which could put me in a different reality, a different world, good sound quality, good graphics. There's so much more. Come on, Trent.
Yeah, but no, I mean, they're fine. Right, that's fine. But it's not, you know, it doesn't take me back to my childhood, does it? You know, there's nothing better than that noise on Henry Hughes when you score a goal. You know, and even on games in the 90s, you would probably have the real sound of football cheers that they put on football games now without crowds. But on Nemlin Hughes, it just goes... and that's great. And then every now and again, it goes... and it genuine, that's the noise it makes.
I think that's the game reflecting on what it knows it is.
Anyway, something else I thought about getting old this week, and this was reflected by, you know, one of our listeners, Danny, good old Danny. Our old
yes.
Mate. I saw he tweeted this week. He said, you know, you feel old when you hear your little girl singing a Little Mix song, which he had to Google, which I would as well. And he said, bit worrying about some of them lyrics. I don't think any bloke could talk about giving a bird a sip of a drink to be in love and get on her knees.
Oh.
So this is the other thing that I realised this week, I'm getting old. So one of my jobs, as you know, is putting together stuff for the BBC's Top of the Pops programme on the World Service.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell you what, there's a song in the charts at the moment by Cardi B. Now, you have a go at me about being old. If you're the young one about us, tell me about Cardi B. Go on, tell me all about her, seeing as you're the youthful one of this
I
pairing.
Have heard of Cardi B. I believe she's a singer, and that is the extent of my knowledge of Cardi B.
I mean, isn't it sad? Well, all I think is cardigan. I think, oh, that's Cardi. Again, that's my age. So anyway, she's got a song at the moment in the charts called WAP.
WAP.
Any idea what WAP might stand for?
No.
Hmm. It stands for wet ass pussy.
Does it?
It does. Right. And even the clean version is called wet and gushy.
Oh, God.
Right. So he said, the bloke who's really in charge of putting the programme together, he says to me, for God's sake, make sure you use the clean version.
Right. So is it an insult?
No, it's a sexy thing. It's a sex thing.
Oh, so it's not like you're calling somebody a wet ass pussy.
No,
because I can see how that could be an insult.
No, this is a very explicit sexual lyric, right?
Oh, okay, right.
So the clean version, as
my
I say,
my parents listen to this, you know.
No, well, it's a good job that they're being protected from the songs of Cardi B by you. So the clean version is called Wet and Gushy. The first line of this song is, and this is still included in the clean version. Again, this is where I think, am I getting old, where I think this is highly inappropriate, or is this highly inappropriate? Bearing in mind that children will be listening to this song, even the clean version. The first line is, whores in this house, there's some whores in this house. There's some whores in this house, there's some whores in this house.
Wow.
Wet and gushy, make that pull out game week woo. So that's the first little bit.
Sorry, what was that last line?
Wet and gushy, make that pull out game week woo. I don't know what it means.
This is the thing. It's not only that I'm out of touch. I don't even know what they're talking about anymore. I can't even decode it.
Right. So anyway, the song goes on. This is when you get to verse two. And this is where I think the rest of it, I almost think, I mean, there's bits in it, that, you know, that I think some of it's cut out the clean version. Make it cream, make me scream.
Oh, God.
I mean, it's, and then this bit is still in the clean version. This is verse two. And at this point, I'm thinking, surely we can't use this. It turned out about 3 weeks ago, the main person in charge of the program had to put together a whole page defending the use of the song. Right?
Wow.
So this is in it. Gobble me, swallow me, drip down.
No. No. No, listen. This can't go out.
Listen. Gobble me, swallow me, drip down the side of me. Quick jump out before you let it get inside of me.
Oh, fuck off.
This is the clean version. I mean, is it me?
No.
I was thinking back to songs when I was younger. I'm sure to an older generation, even songs in the 80s would push it too far. I seem to remember, you know, Let's Talk About Sex, Baby was a bit controversial. Obviously, Relax was controversial.
But Talk About Sex, Baby, compared to that, it's like a hymn.
Yes! It's unbelievable, isn't it? I mean, I'm glad it's not just me. I think this is one thing where I'm not getting old. And I'm thinking, like, kids will be singing this in playgrounds. Bearing in mind, I think this week it's at number two in the charts. Kids will be singing this in playgrounds, not knowing what the hell this means.
Well, there's an interesting question, actually. Is it a problem? If the kids don't actually have a clue what it means, then is it still a problem if they're singing it?
Yes, I think it is.
Really?
Yes, because it's just...
Cast your mind back to a few weeks ago on the podcast.
Yeah.
You read me a deliberately filthy children's bedtime story.
Yeah.
So I would throw that back at you and say, why is that okay?
Because
if they're not understanding what they're saying or reading or hearing, then what damage is it doing?
No, but because if you're a child reading, what was it, Brenda's Beaver?
Yeah.
Right? If you're reading Brenda's Beaver, it's in the context of a children's book. It's got pictures of a hairy animal beaver, right?
Yes.
A child has no context of any childish pictures. They're just singing. These words coming out of a child's mouth are not right. Gobble me, swallow me, drip down the side of me.
It's harder to defend. Trev, last week I was telling you that I felt the world was a more tense place.
Yes, yeah.
It's carried on.
Okay, well, last week you were getting bollockings left, right and centre.
Yeah.
So I've got another people one. Still shouting at you.
Yeah. And I honestly had done nothing wrong at all.
Well, I'll be the judge of this. Let's see, because last week you didn't think you'd done anything wrong by jumping over somebody's fence.
Hedge, not a fence,
you were
hedge.
Pole vaulting over their property.
A hedge in inverted commas, anyway. So I walked up, I had my headphones on, so I couldn't really hear what was going on. But as I was walking up to someone's front door, I heard...
Okay.
What the hell's going on? So I took my headphones off and started looking around. And somebody was leaning out of the window from the top floor of their house, screaming at me.
Yeah.
And I said, sorry? And he said, we don't want the rubbish.
I don't.
I said, what rubbish? He said, the rubbish. We don't want it. Put it in the bin.
And what rubbish?
Well, it took me a second, but I realised he was talking about what most people, not Royal Mail, call junk mail. We refer to it as door-to-door mail.
Door-to-door mail.
Everyone else calls it shit and junk mail.
Yes, basically spamming me. Physically spamming me.
But I just thought, you could have politely... Cooey, hello there, Mr. Postman.
Cooey, who's cooey?
Well, it's better than stop putting the rubbish through my door, isn't it? He was losing his mind. I'd done nothing but walk up to his door.
Wow. I mean,
I'm not even sure how he knew I had door-to-door mail.
Well, because you always put in door-to-door mail in these days. I mean, I always feel sorry for my postman when I haven't got any post and he's still going to put some shit through my door that I'm not interested in. I don't want it.
Yeah, I know. We often have a system where if it's only the door-to-door mail, we won't bother unless you've got some actual post to go with.
Well, my postman doesn't do that. All right, there's something I'm going to take up with. Next time he comes, I'm going to open the door and go, cooey!
Just be nice. I just couldn't understand why this man was raging at me. Oh,
was it a block of flats
down.
Or was it a house?
No, it was a quite respectable house, but he just seemed to go off the charts at me. I couldn't understand why. If he just said, sorry mate, I know you were doing your job, but if you wouldn't mind just putting the door-to-door mail, or he'd call it junk mail.
Yeah.
But just put that to one side, just give him my actual post. That would be great. And I said, of course, mate, no problem. But no, he had to go straight to screaming. I'm getting sick of it.
Yeah, he didn't come down. He opened the window. He was shouting out of a top window.
Oh, yeah, he couldn't even be bothered to come down and
so how did he know that you'd put any in?
Well, I don't know. I mean, maybe he saw me sort of...
Had you put some in?
What? No, I did have some for him, but yeah. One of them was a big pizza leaflet menu thing. So maybe he saw me sort of folding it over to get through the letterbox nicely. I don't know. But he'd obviously got a real bee in his bonnet about it, and he wasn't happy about the mail going through or the junk.
The things...
As he sees it.
Well, these are the little things that do... push you over the edge. You know, if you're having a bad day, those little things can push you. You know what I mean? He might have been having a dreadful day, and suddenly there you are, just shoveling shit through his letterbox. You know what I mean?
Well, I've got to ask you, though.
Yeah.
And please feel free to tell me if you think I'm in the wrong here, but what do you think is a more reasonable request? Is it more reasonable that once a week he bends over, picks up some junk mail, throws it in the bin?
Yeah.
Or is it reasonable for him to expect me to remember his address and every single week deliberately not sort the mail into his slot? And imagine, by the way, I deal with about 500-600 houses a day.
Yeah, yeah.
Imagine if I had half of those people saying the same thing to me. Who's more unreasonable? Is it just pop it in the bin, mate? Or up to me to remember what everyone's particular preferences are for the junk mail? It's
clearly made you angry, this, hasn't it?
I mean, it has a bit, yes.
So I think, look, I'll be on your side here.
Yay!
But what I think people need to see, again, like back in the, when I was young, people used to put up little signs, didn't they? No junk mail, no hawkers. You know,
hawkers. I've never heard hawkers before.
Hawkers. Yeah, there was. You used to get signs, little stickers that you put up. No circulars or hawkers. Or I'm sure that's what it used to say.
I've seen no circulars and I've seen no junk mail. Frankly, I hate to break it to you, but we ignore that because we don't view it as junk mail. We view it as door-to-door mail.
Right. So, well, very annoying. There's a market for new stickers. No door-to-door mail. Came up with that? That was a meeting, wasn't it? The thing is, we need to get round this thing where people put up stickers saying no junk mail. You know, we need to... We'll call it door-to-door then. We'll bypass the sticker.
This is supporting earlier on what you were saying about not wanting to go back to the office, because it's this sort of bollocks that gets spread around the
offices.
Exactly.
This is the sort of thing, like, why is it suddenly called door-to-door mail? What a stupid fucking tale. But what I'm saying is that I think you're wrong to ignore the stickers. I think if there's a sticker up that says no junk mail, no circulars, whether it's called door-to-door mail or not, you shouldn't put it through. If he's not got a sticker, the responsibility should be on him to have a sticker.
Okay, so you think that despite what our managers tell us to do, we should respect the no junk mail signs?
I think
we completely ignore them.
I think that's wrong. And anyone who's got a sticker up, I would encourage, this is what I'm going to encourage, anyone who's got a sticker up, there's two courses of action I'm asking of you here. One, if you see your postman put something through your door and you've got one of those stickers, shout at him out through the window.
No, don't do that.
Yeah, shout him. You can go cooey if you want, but I would. I'd really
shout nicely.
I go, I've got a fucking sticker up, mate. Read the fucking sticker. I don't know why I've gone a little bit Australian there. But
read the fucking sticker, mate.
Yeah, or I'll stick that door-to-door mail right up your arse. And secondly, just bombard the postal service with emails, whatever it is, just complaining every time you get a little bit of junk mail through, and then also bombard them every day with your own junk mail. Whether it's just you know, find the complaints department's email and every day just send them a bit of junk.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea. I mean, I don't do it to Royal Mail because they're a fantastic company and I'm a valued employee.
They pay your wages. For any others. That's what I'm going to recommend. So I think there's a two-way sort of meeting of minds here. I think you have to start respecting the stickers. If they're there, respect them. And what I'd suggest, do you have like a suggestion box at work? Do you have meetings?
No.
Where
I love how organized you think we are.
Do you have meetings where you're allowed to feedback?
No.
Well, surely you've got a manager's listening ear, they'll comfort you if there's any problems. They'll put an arm around you if there's an issue. I get the feeling they're a loving him. From what you just said, they're your employer, and they've obviously got a loving. Oh, they're like warm, cuddly.
For the sake of my future employment, I will say they are a fantastic group of managers.
Yeah. So, well, there you go. It's next time, you see, I've been thinking about this policy of ignoring the junk mail stickers, and I think we need to start taking note of our customers' desires and see where that gets you.
But who am I to determine what you might find junk? As the old expression goes, one man's junk is another man's treasure.
No, junk is...
You might want 50% off a large margarita with a stuffed crust.
Junk... stuff. If you're delivering a leaflet through my door from a pizza company and it's got my name and address on it, sure, you're the postman, pop it through my letterbox. If you're putting stuff through my letterbox that isn't addressed to me personally, I don't want it.
Okay. I think that's quite a nice rule of thumb, actually. I like that.
So feed that back for me. There's a little customer feedback for you.
Yes, I'm sure that Royal Mail will be happy to lose 30% of its business because of your opinion.
Do you want to play a little game?
Always.
I want to test your sort of logical thinking.
Okay.
So I'm going to ask you some... They're trick questions. I'm going to tell you they're trick questions, okay? But I want to see whether you can work them out.
Go for it.
Okay, so get a point for each one you get right.
Okay.
Okay, you ready? Right, so we'll start with number one.
This seems like a nice game. This is unusual for you. There's a clear way of point scoring. There's rules. I like it.
Well, let's see how we go, okay? Right, first question, nice straightforward one. How can a man go 8 days without sleep?
How can a man go 8 days without sleep?
How can a man go 8 days without sleep?
Well... I wouldn't have thought that was impossible anyway. By not sleeping? I mean, so is it as simple as that?
You could not sleep for 8 days.
I wouldn't recommend it. I don't think it'd be fun, but maybe it's possible.
You'd be physically and mentally a mess at the end of that, wouldn't you?
How could a man not sleep for 8 days?
Yeah.
Is it something macabre?
Like
is
what?
Is it by dying?
No.
I don't know. That one's beating me, I'm afraid.
Okay, all right. Well, you start off with nil point. It's not a problem. He doesn't need to sleep during the day. He sleeps at night.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Right, okay. You ready for another one?
But that's bollocks, because a day is a 24-hour period.
Well, it's day and night, you know.
Okay, I've fallen for that one. All right, right bastard. Okay.
10 birds were sitting in a tree, and a hunter shot one. How many birds were left in the tree?
10.
Right. 10 birds were sitting in a tree. A hunter shot one. How many left?
10.
Why?
Because, you smart ass, the bird died but didn't fall out of the tree. Or it didn't, or it grazed it or something. The bird is still in the tree. It's 10.
No, that's not the answer.
That's not the answer. No,
the answer is none. After one bird got shot, the rest flew away.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
You're not doing very well. Right, you ready?
Yeah.
Number three. Before Mount Everest was discovered, what was the highest mountain in the world?
Got this one, Mount Everest. Just because it hadn't been discovered didn't mean it wasn't the tallest.
All right, yeah, he's got 1 point.
Get in there.
Number four. How much dirt is there in a hole that measures 2 feet by 3 feet by 4 feet?
Doesn't matter what it measures, it's a hole. There's no dirt in it.
Oh, you're getting into these now, aren't
you? Yeah!
2 points. Okay. Number five. If a plane crashes on the border of the United States and Mexico, where would the survivors be buried?
You don't bury survivors.
Okay, yeah.
I'm getting into the flow now.
Okay, whatever we're up to. A man makes a claim that he can predict the exact score of every football game before it begins, and he's always right. How is that possible?
That's easy. Yeah. He predicts 0-0 because every football match before it begins starts at 0-0.
You're suddenly doing quite well here, aren't you?
I know.
All right.
It must be quite annoying for you.
Yeah, it's really pissing me off. I don't think you're going to get this one. But you might do. Who knows?
Try me.
What two words, when combined, hold the most letters?
Ooh. What two words, when combined, hold the most letters?
Yeah.
Is it something like mailbag?
Mailbag.
I mean, I'm not taking letters as in alphabetical.
Right.
I'm taking it as in, like, a postman's bag. So, like, post bag.
Okay.
That holds a lot of letters.
So that's your answer.
Am I on the right track?
You are on the right track, yeah.
Go on.
The answer's post office.
No! Oh!
Of course, they hold the most letters and junk daily, what do you call it?
Door-to-door mail. Now, can I ask, do I get half a point for being along the right track?
You get half a point.
Yeah.
Are you keeping a track of how many points you're on? Because I'm not.
No, I've got no idea.
Right, okay. How far can you walk into the woods?
What?
How far can you
walk... I heard the question, but what?
How far can you walk into the woods?
I don't really know. I mean... You're either in the woods or you're not. It's like being a little bit pregnant. You either are in the woods or you're not in the woods. One step?
One step. One step's as far as you can go into the woods.
But yeah, once you've taken one step and you are in the woods, you are then in the woods. And when you come out the other side, yeah, one step.
No. You were thinking along the right lines that the answer is halfway. After that, you're walking out of the woods.
Oh, bloody stupid.
And yet you get so cross when you get it wrong.
I'm losing my touch now.
Right, okay, let's go for another one here. A clerk at a butcher shop stands 5 feet 10 inches tall and wears size 13 shoes. What does he weigh?
Meat.
Yeah.
I like that one.
Right, let's go for another one. Spell ghost out loud, then spell most out loud, then spell roast out loud. What do you put in a toaster?
Bread.
Oh,
nice try.
How many sides does a circle have?
How many sides does a circle have?
Yeah.
One? Well, it depends. I mean, like a coin would have two sides to a coin. And if you draw a circle on a piece of paper, then on the other side of the piece of paper would be the alternate side. So I guess two.
Well, the answer is two, but it's not for your logic. There's an inside and an outside.
What?
Inside a circle, outside a circle.
I don't care about the answer, right? I'll take that.
Imagine you're in a sinking rowing boat surrounded by sharks.
Starting to wish I was.
How would you survive?
I'm on a sinking rowing boat surrounded by sharks. How would I survive?
Yeah.
Well, that's not really up to me at this point, is it? Stop it sinking?
Stop it sinking. Is that your answer?
Plug the hole? Batter them with the oar? I don't know.
Yeah, you don't batter sharks. Cod and
haddock. How'd you do it?
Okay, well, I'm going to read you the question again and give you the answer, okay?
Okay.
This is about listening to the question properly.
Well, don't give me the answer straight away, then. I'll listen again.
All right, imagine you're in a sinking rowboat surrounded by sharks.
Got it.
How would you survive?
Stop imagining it.
All right. Anyway, do you want a couple more?
Yeah, why not? I'm having fun.
Okay.
Don't know if the listeners are, but I am.
What word in the English language is always spelled incorrectly?
Incorrectly?
Yeah. Billy was born on December the 28th, yet her birthday always falls in the summer. How is this possible?
She's Australian?
Yeah, she lives in the Southern Hemisphere.
There you go.
In South Africa, you cannot take a picture of a man with a wooden leg. Why not?
You can't take a picture of a man with a wooden leg because your wooden leg can't take the picture.
Yeah, you need to use a camera.
Yeah.
If you were running a race and you passed the person in second, what place would you be in now?
Second.
Yeah.
That was quite easy, that one. I've played enough Mario Kart to know how that works.
Is it legal for a man living in North Carolina to be buried in South Carolina?
Not if he's living, no.
A farmer has 5 haystacks in one field and 4 haystacks in another. How many haystacks would he have if he combined them all in one field?
Ooh, this feels like a weird one. He has 5 haystacks in one field.
Yep, 4 haystacks in another. How many haystacks would he have if he combined them all in one field?
Ooh. I don't know. Because the obvious answer is 9, but like, it's not going to be that, is it?
Unlikely.
You have 5 haystacks in one field, 4 haystacks in another. Is it 6?
How's that?
That you could just put the 4 haystacks from the other field on top of the 5 you have in your current field, making it 6, but one of them's bigger.
Okay. Is that your answer, 6?
It's as good as I've got.
I mean, you're on the right lines, but you haven't taken it far enough.
Oh.
You'd have 1. If he combined all his haystacks together, they'd become one big stack.
But then why did you say he had 5 and 4? Surely by that the logic of the answer, it should be he has 1 haystack in one field and another haystack in another.
He has 5 haystacks in one field, 4 haystacks. Don't question the question.
It doesn't make sense.
It does make sense. A farmer has 5 haystacks in one field and 4 haystacks in another. How many haystacks would he have if he combined them all in one field?
If you combine them all. It kind of makes sense. It kind of makes sense.
Oh, it kind of makes sense. You don't like it because you got it wrong. A guy is condemned to death. He has to choose a room. Room 1 is a fiery inferno. Room 2 has 50 assassins with loaded guns. And room 3 has a room full of hungry lions that haven't eaten in 3 months. Which room is the safest?
A fiery inferno. I mean, define a fiery inferno. It could be a fireplace, couldn't it?
I suppose it could be, yeah.
But there's no real knowledge that just because they're assassins with loaded guns, they would shoot you.
Yeah.
And we don't know that the lions... Aha! The lions! If they haven't eaten in 3 months, they'd be dead.
Oh, I thought you were going to not get that. And I thought you were going to really hate the answer.
I like that. I got it.
Which is heavier, 100 pounds of rocks?
Yeah, it's the same. It's the same.
If it's
100 pounds, it's 100 pounds. Whether it be feathers or rocks, it's still 100 pounds.
Would it be ethical for a man to marry the sister of his widow?
Would it be ethical for a man to marry the sister of his... If it's his widow, he's dead.
Yeah.
I'm really good at this.
You are. You're doing really well, right? which is correct to say? The yolk of the egg is white or the yolk of the egg are white?
The yolk is neither. The yolk is not white. The yolk is yellow.
I think these are a bit easy.
I mean, I don't consider myself a foodie, but that was quite a gimme, that one.
All right, one more. An electrician and a plumber were waiting in line for admission to the New England Home Show. One of them was the father of the other's son. How could this be possible? I remember us doing this on the radio.
Yeah, I mean, that would have been great content for the old radio station. Well, presumably it's working on the old stereotype that we don't think women can be tradespeople. So I'll say because one of them is a woman.
Well, the husband and wife, yeah. Now, on this podcast, I think we like to educate. You know,
always.
Yeah, you know, the people come to us for knowledge. Right? And I know we've talked theories and science and things with Gareth Sturdy, who's joined us. And I wonder whether this can become something that we try and do every week, is that we impart knowledge, you know, because when you've got the sort of combined IQ that we have, you know. But I found this week that are things that might, you know, like my amazing facts a few weeks ago.
Yes.
Well, these are facts, but these are misconceptions, right? So I'm going to ask you some questions and then give you the truth behind the misconception.
Okay, this sounds a lot like, and this is probably be only relevant to UK listeners, but QI with their general ignorance round.
A little bit like that. So I'm going to ask you, what is coffee made from?
Well, the obvious answer would be coffee beans.
Well, there you go. This is what people think. Now, I can only vouch for these in terms of I've found these online. I'm trusting these. Okay?
Yeah, because no one ever produces shit on the internet, do they?
No, right? Most people believe coffee is made from beans.
Yeah.
But it's actually made from seeds called beans. They're not actually beans. They don't fall into the bean category. They're seeds.
Yeah, I mean, that's... just a bit of a finickety work of language, isn't it? Like, a peanut isn't actually a nut, it's a legume. It's like, but who really gives a fuck, you know?
Very true. That peanut isn't a nut, is it?
Was that your next one? Have I blown it?
No, my next one is, when does a comedian change colour?
Well, okay, I'll say it. When it steps onto a new surface, it changes its colour, but it's going to be some weird semantics language argument, isn't it?
No, it's not. That's the thing, right? People think a comedian changes colour to fit in with their surroundings.
Yeah.
But apparently they actually change colour depending on their mood, temperature, and their exposure to light.
But they do change to match the surface they're on, right?
No, they don't, no.
It's I thought with that it. Was half of the thing about them. They camouflage themselves by matching their surroundings. So you're saying that they happen to be in the exact right mood to match whatever surface they're on.
Well, presumably that the colouring, perhaps when they're like on a leaf, perhaps when they go green, that must be to do with the exposure to light. I'm not saying they're not picking up on their surrounding areas, but it's not actually, they're not turning green because they think, oh, that's green. You know, it's because they're presumably picking up a light source that is green. Something like that. I mean, that's...
Well, that would suggest then it's nothing to do with their mood.
Well, no, it's partly to do with their mood as well.
This doesn't sound very well researched.
Like, if they're out in the middle of the desert and they suddenly get a little pissed off, they probably go bright red. I don't know. I quite like the idea of things changing colour when their mood changes. You know, when I'm feeling low, you know, if I'm not having a great day, I'll turn blue.
And when you're not very well, you go a bit green.
I think, I think it's a great thing, right? Okay. What's one of the few things on Earth that can be seen from the moon?
Ah, you want me to say the Great Wall of China, but you can't.
No, you can't. There's a weird thing. I was thinking about this when I read it, because it says that people often say you can see the Great Wall of China from the moon.
The only man-made structure visible from space is what they often say.
But it might be visible from space, but it's certainly not visible from the moon. I wonder if they're in the... could they see it from the International Space Station? I don't have that information. It just says the Apollo astronauts confirmed that you can't see it from the moon.
But no one... I've never heard anyone say that the... Great Wall of China is the only man-made structure visible from the moon. I've never heard anyone say that. I've heard them say visible from space.
And it's not visible from space, because presumably, you know... I mean,
you're right there.
Sorry. I'm assuming they mean...
I broke you.
You did. I don't know what happened there. It was like the record got stuck. that's how old I am. I'm run by vinyl and needle. presumably we're talking with the naked eye here. So if you're in the space station, you've got a telescope, sure, you could see it. But with the naked eye, presumably not.
Okay.
Okay, here's another question for you. How many dog years in one human year?
How many dog years in one human year? Well, one. This feels like the trick question game.
No. But people always think it's seven, don't they?
Yes, that's the bollocks, isn't it? Seven dog years for every one human. But in fact, in reality, dogs just happen to live a lot less than humans. So 1 year is still 1 year. It's like your 100 pounds of tongue concrete or 100 tons of feathers. It's still 100 tons.
Yeah, although...
A year is still a year.
Although, according to this, it says its aging process can depend on the size and breed of the dog. So some dogs, they won't age at the same rate as a human ages in 1 year, because their makeup is so different. They could age differently.
Why do we feel the need to comfort ourselves with inflating dogs' ages? Why is that? Is that just so when they die at the age of 13, you can say, oh, well, they were 80 in dog years, they had a good run?
Yeah.
By the way, I don't know. I haven't done the maths on that. Whatever 13 times 7 is, I don't know. But why do we do that? Why don't we just say they were 13 years old, they died? Why do we need to invent this rubbish that they live 7 years to our one? They don't.
It must be a comfort thing, mustn't it? It must go, as you say, oh, well, they've had a good innings. What did you say, 13 years to 80? did you say?
I was just talking out of my arse, but I said 13 sevens. It probably, in fact, it's certainly not 80.
It must be. It's just a comfort thing. Cause, you know, when you look at the dog, you think, oh, well, it's had a good innings. You can say that. If someone dies before, I don't know, sort of 80, it's difficult to say they've had a good innings. So it must be the same with a dog. Okay.
Okay. So it's just humans being idiots. Okay, good.
Yeah, basically.
Thought as much.
Yeah. How far are you away from a rat in London?
Oh, I've heard this is quite a horrible stat. Like, you're never more than... Is 7 feet too ridiculous?
6 feet is what they say.
Six feet?
That's the thing. But, I mean, it's a pure nonsense because you can't always... You know, the presence of a rat isn't evenly spread. So they could never tell you exactly that. That's ludicrous.
Well, no, presumably if you're at the top of the Shard, then you're going to be quite some distance from the nearest rat.
You would imagine so, unless rats are in the Shard. I mean, I know what it's like to have the sounds of mice in the brickwork of your house. Who knows, in the Shard, it's a modern building, you'd hope that there aren't rats.
Just to take a quick pause from the current topic of discussion, how is the mouse problem going on?
Well, I've not seen any, I've not caught any, but I'm still hearing them. And I was very disappointed the other day when I had my godchildren come to stay and their dog, and in the room they were sleeping in, I was then told that they could hear a mouse behind, they think, the skirting board nibbling away. The dog was going nuts, and they tapped the skirting board and the noise shut off. So they're making their way up the house, which is a worry.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Is it safe to have, fatal mouse traps lying about the house with a dog, especially if they're laced with food?
I didn't. I took them up before the dog came. Because I didn't want the dog, because the dog would go straight for it.
Of course.
You know? So, yeah, no, you know, here's a lesson. Don't put traps out when there's a dog around.
No.
Because it's going to hurt the dog. It could probably break their paw.
I feel like you need a cat.
A cat would be, except the cat, all the cat's going to do is do exactly what the dog did. Hear the mice, and not actually be able to get at them. So we'll just go slowly insane as
like
it
you.
Searches for these fucking things. Right, I'm going to give you one more.
Go on
these.
Then.
What sort of hats did Vikings wear?
Well, again, the answer's so obvious. I'm assuming you want me to say the ones with the big horn on them, but I'm basing on the game we're playing that they obviously didn't.
No evidence to suggest that Vikings ever wore horned helmets. So
why did that come about?
I'm going to look it up. Why Vikings horned helmets?
Are you doing this now?
I'm looking it up now.
All right, everyone, just please yourself for a minute. Just take care of yourself. Take care of yourself. Trevor's doing some Googling live on the podcast.
It's just interesting, isn't it? I should have looked this up beforehand.
Yeah, you should have.
But I didn't think about it, right?
Well, I don't know why we're having production meetings mid-podcast.
The popular image of the strapping Viking in a horned helmet dates back to the 1800s when certain Scandinavian artists included the headgear in their portrayals of the raiders, but there's no evidence to suggest that they wore horned helmets.
So somebody made it up.
Somebody made it up and it stuck. It's a bit like the whole pirate voice, isn't it? You know, nobody before... what was the actor's name? The famous actor, the pirate. I want to say Jack Hawkins, but I think that was the name of a pirate.
It's the name of
the
pirate, isn't it? Yeah.
The pirate actor voice, man.
Is it terrible that the only famous pirate who's been played by an actor that I can name is Tim Curry in The Muppets? I think he played Long John Silver, I think.
Did he? I mean, obviously, you must know Johnny Depp played a pirate.
Oh, yes, that is true. But to me, Tim Curry's better than Johnny Depp.
Oh, really? Yeah, well, Tim Curry's a...
Nothing against Johnny Depp, just no. Tim Curry's a legend.
But Robert Newton was the actor who first did the voice, and now everyone thinks that's how pirates spoke. Never
have you been Googling
that.
Again?
Just been Googling that, yeah.
I don't like this.
What do you mean it's instant information?
This sly Googling. But you're making yourself look clever with this underhanded Googling.
Well, no, because I'm admitting I'm Googling it. So So there we are. That's just about it for another Trev and Ben podcast. I feel we've learned a lot today. I feel it's been like a bit of a lesson. What I'd suggest is you might have to go past any swearing, but you could use this as an educational podcast for your children, a bit of homeschooling.
I really don't think children should listen to this.
They're listening to fucking Wet and Gushy.
Oh, God.
Right, before we go, just let you know a few weeks ago you recommended The Invisible Man, the film?
Yes.
I watched it this week.
And?
It's pretty good, isn't it? It's a pretty good film.
I don't
film.
Like the use of the word pretty there.
No.
That implies you thought it was a bit shit.
No, I really enjoyed it. I just thought there were a few plot holes there.
Go on.
Well, spoiler alert, if you've not watched it and you're intending to watch it, you might not want to listen to this little bit. Right? Well, I mean, it's just at the end, right, yeah, where she kills the bloke.
Yes.
And then the policeman just lets her walk away. I don't quite see how that works. She's
but
just
he
murdered
wasn't just
someone.
A police officer, was he? Wasn't she her? Was he a partner, or was he just a very good friend?
Well, I couldn't work out their relationship. That was the other thing that was annoying me. Who was he? He seemed to appear from nowhere. I didn't know whether he was her sister's lover. I don't know what he was. So that was weird.
What, they weren't romantically involved, were they?
They weren't romantically involved. No. And also, what I couldn't understand is in the bit where she gets arrested midway through the film for murdering her sister when the Invisible Man has done it, and then the Invisible Man manages to get into the prison cells and all that.
Yeah.
I mean, how rubbish were all those security guards?
He was an invisible man.
Yeah, but I mean, it was ludicrous. I mean, even when he could be seen a little bit, they were still not doing anything. That was doing.
I would ask you, why can't you see the invisible man standing next to you as you record this? The simple answer is, he's invisible.
Well, I mean, there were bits in it I thought were a bit ludicrous, but overall, very much enjoyed it.
Did you appreciate the subtle nods to the original, especially with the heavily bandaged man in the hospital?
That was the only nod I got. I don't know if there were any others that I
missed.
There
were others, but I can't remember them all.
Okay, no, it was a good film. It was a nice, decent length, not too long. It was a good story, kept me interested. Lovely moments, shocking moments. So overall, very good. I'll give it a 7 out of 10. So recommendations this week, I've only got one thing. It's actually one thing that I have rewatched this week.
Okay.
And it was the Louis Theroux My Scientology movie.
Oh, okay. I think I have seen that.
Yeah. And every time I watch anything or hear anything about Scientologists, you just realise what fucking fruitcakes they are. And I mean, honestly, it's like, they're like a sort of mafia, aren't they?
I should warn you that there is a...
You're very near the sort of head. The East Grinstead Scientology unit is just down the road from you.
I'm about 5 minutes away from a massive church of Scientology, so I don't want to piss them off.
You'll
too
probably
much.
Walk out later and there'll be someone filming you. Because that's what they do, they just film everything.
For any Scientologists listening, I'm not specifically picking on you. I think all religions are completely ridiculous.
But you are in particularly fucking mental.
that's Trev, not me.
But it's well worth watching the documentary. My mate watched it with me. He didn't really know much about Scientology, and I was trying to sort of tell him how fucking nuts they are, and so we watched it, and he now agrees they're absolute lunatics.
I'm just looking out my window in the distance for the burning pitchforks.
No, they won't be doing it. They'll be there with a camera. And they do this thing, what's it called? Squirreling. They squirrel bust. That's what they call it. They squirrel bust.
That's a new term to me. What's that?
That's people who have left Scientology, and people just sort of doorstep you all the time.
I know that Leah Rimini, of King of Queens fame, she left them, and she had a horrible time with them, by the sounds of things.
Well, she does. This is how I got onto. This is why we ended up watching, because I was telling him about her podcast. She does a podcast about Scientology, and she lays into them. So anyway, watch that. Very good. I think it's on Amazon Prime. That
good stuff. I would like to. I can't recommend it because I haven't seen it, but I must say I have fallen for the PR train on this one. There is apparently a new film out, a horror film, on Netflix called Veronica, and it's essentially about I don't normally like ghosty films, but I imagine that's the way it's going. It's about a girl who tries to do a Ouija board to get in contact with her deceased father, and it apparently is so scary that the majority of people who try and watch it can't get through it. It's from the same people who made... Have you ever seen the Spanish film REC?
No.
It's very good. As much as I don't like ghosty films, and I especially don't like subtitled films usually, that's both, but I really liked it. So it's got a good reputation going in. And there's also been some PR saying that there is warnings that it could cause heart attacks in more fragile viewers.
Wow.
So I have fallen for the PR train hook, line and sinker, but I will be getting back to you next week on how I get on with Veronica.
Well, that'd be interesting, because I mean, so many of these things in the past where it's been warnings of people fainting, and I've watched these things and it's like, really? Who's fainted to this?
Especially with The Exorcist. I mean, I call myself a horror film fan, but I've never seen The Exorcist. But that's only because I these days imagine it would be laughable.
Yeah, well, I've seen it, and yes, it is laughable. I'd imagine when it first came out, it was pretty shocking. But these days, it's funny. It'll be interesting to see how you get on with that. We'll hear next week then.
I will let you know.
Lovely. Well, there we are. Thank you very much for listening and downloading. Get in touch with us anytime about anything. We're at Trev and Ben on Twitter, and we'll catch you again next week. Till then, stay safe, stay well, and take it easy.
Bye.